This is Flight 101. You're number 2 behind Eastern 707. Clear to taxi into position and hold.
Midland 101, roger.
Okay, ready to go, Larry?
Rod, we have pressure and fluid.
You're clear on the right, Captain.
Okay, ready for the checklist. Hydraulic panel?
Check.
Fuel panel?
Set for takeoff.
Flaps?
15 degrees.
Speed brakes?
Forward.
Flight instruments?
Set.
Windshield and pitot heat?
On.
Okay, we all ready to go?
Roger, Midland 101, ready for takeoff.
Midland 101, clear for takeoff.
101, roger.
Read the final items.
Right.
Any skid?
On.
Flight start switches?
On.
Warning lights?
Out.
Oil cooler?
Ground off. Checklist complete.
Set takeoff power.
Set.
Read the markers.
1,000.
With the routine precision of professionals, the flight crew of Midland International Airways, Flight 101, begins another trip. As their 727 bites deeply into the afternoon haze above Florida, Captain George Laval, First Officer Truman Best, and Second Officer Larry Hickok settle into their practice duties. A few feet behind them, the three stewardesses prepare the race against time to serve their 79 passengers with all the food and drink the airline promises in its ads. 85 people in an aluminum cocoon, lifting from Florida's moist heat into the stratosphere's frigid cold in hissing air-conditioned luxury. As the Tower Playhouse gives you a first-class window seat on Flight 101 to Chicago, with one unscheduled stopover. In the hole in the sky.
Miss Stewardess, you have any other magazines? I read all these.
I'll see what I can find, sir.
Thanks.
Say, when are you going to pass out the drinks? A man could die of thirst.
In just a few minutes, sir. Oh, ma'am, would you like me to warm the baby, Father?
Good afternoon, folks. I'd like to welcome you aboard Midland International Flight 101 to Chicago. We're just climbing through 20,000 feet now, and we expect to be cleared to 32,000, most of the way up to O'Hare International. The weather is fine all along the way. Feel free to walk around now and stretch your legs if you like, but when you're in your seat, for your own comfort, I'd like to ask you to keep your seat belt fastened. I'll be talking to you again from time to time. Hope you enjoy your trip today. Thanks for flying Midland International Airways. Thank you. Okay, True, take over. See the traffic off to the right?
Rod.
Nice day, isn't it? Hey, let's make it a little cooler in here, all right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's better.
Hi, gentlemen. Taking orders for snacks or dinner.
Yeah, you got some orange juice?
Orange juice. Mr. Best.
Get that mister. I'll have coffee black, Miss Sims.
And Larry?
Well, nothing now, LaVon, thanks.
Hey, Vonnie, what's that all about?
Oh, ask Mr. Best. Be back in a minute.
Truman Best, you sowing dissension in the crew?
No, Captain, it's a gag. Just an unfunny joke.
Maybe I better not ask.
No, Skipper, it's nothing like that. I just kidded her a little, that's all. She took it the wrong way. She went to a fortune teller in Miami.
A fortune teller?
Yeah, and I made the mistake of ribbing her about it. But the poor kid's scared. You see, this old dame scared her half to death.
Vonnie? Well, I can't believe she'd fall for a fortune-telling act. What'd she say to her?
Well, Vonnie was off duty, of course, and wasn't wearing the uniform. But the fortune teller right away says, you travel a great deal and will be traveling north within 24 hours, which impressed her a lot.
Uh-huh.
And then, the way Vonnie tells it, the old dame had some kind of spasm or something and told Vonnie not to make the trip.
What?
Yeah, she got all worked up about it, I guess. That's when I tried to kid her out of it. I mean, I could tell she had really been scared.
Well, did she say, this fortune teller, what was against Vonnie's flying this trip?
Yeah. Now, get this, Captain. She said something like, beware of the hole in the sky.
A Aboard Midland International Flight 101, everything has been smooth and normal. Captain LaValle and his crew are at one with the sleek jetliner, their functions merging. The cabin passengers drowse, read, work out of their attaché cases, or, as in the case of seats 4A and 4B, engage in private and intense conversation.
I should never have agreed to let you come along, Carol.
But why? Honestly, Adam, there are times when I just don't understand you at all. Now, don't sulk, please, darling.
I'm not sulking. I'm thinking.
Then don't think. Ever since I met you, you've had lapses like this, almost as if your mind were a million miles away.
I'm sorry, Carol. I'm truly sorry. It's just that, well, this trip, I won't have much time to be with you.
I know, which is why I'll be out of the way at my sister's place. She's been crying for me to come up and visit her anyway, and at least we can see each other once or twice while you're working in Chicago, can't we?
Maybe. Have you told your sister very much about us, Carol?
Oh, only everything. How we met, how you swept me off my feet, such a marvelous line.
You didn't.
I'm kidding, Adam. I'm kidding. But I did tell her how I had met this mysterious, handsome stranger who was always taking notes and taking pictures with his funny little camera. And that he said he was doing some sort of research, but that I really believed he was an enemy spy.
Carol.
Oh, don't believe me. You're always so serious-minded, darling. I wonder why you can never tell when I'm putting you on.
I realize how different we are. I must learn to detect when you say things you don't really mean.
Maybe that's why I fell in love with you. Are you really angry with me for buying a ticket and following you onto the plane like the brazen hussy that I am?
Angry? No, Carol, not angry. It's only that the people I work for expect me to do my work alone.
I won't be in the way, I promise. And they certainly don't expect you to work for them night and day, do they? I mean, you certainly have some time for yourself.
Well, let's just say I've taken some time for myself.
Good. Now lean back and enjoy the flight.
Can the other girls handle the cabin for a minute, Bonnie?
Yes, sir, for sure. Why, is anything wrong?
No, nothing's wrong at all. I just called you up here because I wanted to tell you that First Officer Best is a mighty remorseful man for making fun of you.
Oh, he told you, did he?
Well, about the scare you got from the fortune teller, yes.
He can't do it, can he?
No, he's got his headphones on talking with Chicago. Anyway, what I wanted to say was just that, well, I'm a lot older than you are, and I've been scared to death by all kinds of predictions, too, in my time. And you know what? None of them ever came true.
I know I'm being silly. You didn't think twice about it, but...
Flying now? 6 years?
Almost eight. I know I ought to know better. I'm a fatalist. If something's going to happen to the plane...
Nothing is going to happen to the plane. Or to you. Now, Bonnie, if you...
Captain LaValle, Chicago radar has a message for you.
All right. Now, anyway, just think how silly this will all seem in about 20 minutes when you're trying to get an airporter down at O'Hare, okay?
Okay, Captain. Thanks, and tell Truman that I think he can, if he could get me.
Will do. Okay, Drew, I'll put it on the cockpit speaker.
Right. Here you go.
101, this is Chicago Air Traffic Control. You're about 300 miles out, and we have reports of an unidentified radar return in your area. Altitude unknown.
Roger. Does this object appear to be on any possible collision course?
Negative. The object doesn't seem to move, but it does seem to change shape and comes and goes off our radars.
Well, it sounds like a malfunction of your end, Chicago. We've seen nothing.
Affirmative, Captain. Just wanted you to be aware. Chicago Control out.
Funny they think we'd...
Captain! My God, look!
What is it?
The whole sky is a shimmering light like a heat wave. Let him around!
Hand it over to him.
Yes.
Larry, give me full power. Hit the seatbelt signs. I don't know what this is. We're sure not going to fly through it. People, forgive us, speed climb.
It's up to you, Captain. It's up here. It's all around us.
The devil, we're into it. The light flickers like an old time movie.
He's got it. He's back in the cabin.
Oh, good. Whatever we're into, it's all around us. This flickering is... Larry, look at your board.
I don't know what to tell you, Captain. Everything's haywire.
But we're losing power in all three engines.
Fuel flow is zero. Pressure is zero. Voltage, zero. Captain, there isn't one system on this panel that's working.
Circuit breakers?
Nothing.
Blackness, then light slower and slower.
The flashlight, get it.
Okay. Nothing. This is impossible. Nothing works, Captain. My God, my watch has stopped.
Wait, the blackness. What is it like being blind?
Flickering day is slower and slower. Maybe we've run out of light for good, Captain.
Truman, now Larry, listen.
Yes.
Sit still. Unless my senses are completely cockeyed, we're sitting here in total darkness, and this plane isn't moving.
Yes, you're right, Captain. We're standing still at almost 6 miles in the air. Sir? Captain?
What is it?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh, that's nonsense.
I know, but can you think of a better explanation?
Well, what do you want me to do? Get on the cabin speaker here and tell 79 terrified people that we've just flown into a hole in the sky?
Ladies and gentlemen, quiet. This is Captain Laval. Let me have your attention, please. Please. Now, I'm going to be frank with you. I don't know what's happened. I don't know why we're in this blackness, but... our flashlights and emergency landers do not operate. There is some force out there that has taken over control of this airplane. But listen to me. We don't appear to be in any immediate danger. The plane is motionless. We are not falling. Now, I'm sure there's some scientific explanation for this. Now, stop it. Listen to me. Stay in your seats. I said, everyone, stay in your seats. And we don't need any more remarks like that last one. Now, listen to me. I know you can't see anything, neither can I. But you can hear me, and I want you to understand something. As the captain of this airplane, I am in command, but I need your cooperation. Now, we won't accomplish anything by panicking. Stay calm. We are not hurt. The plane has not been damaged. Now, I'm going back to the flight deck, and I want everyone to remain seated, strapped in. Now, you do that now. Now... find my way back to that cockpit, I'm going to slip into my seat and be ready to fly again when this ship is turned loose. Now, your job, all of you, is to be prepared to fly again, too. You must be in your seat strapped in. Who's that?
It's Bonnie.
I can't help it. It's like the only thing. We're trapped. We're all dead.
Bonnie, honey, you know that can't be.
Well, you've got a better explanation.
Right now, I haven't any explanation, but I know we're not dead.
Listen, Bonnie. Listen. Feel your own heartbeat, Bonnie. Feel my heartbeat.
Now, Truman, you belong in the right seat. Now, Bonnie, you are still chief stewardess on this plane. Where are Diane and Susie? Why aren't you in the cabin with your passengers, helping Diane and Susie?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Captain. I'll try to see what
happens. All right. Now, you strapped in, Truman?
Yes, sir. Now, sir, don't you think you were just a little rough there?
Well, Larry, you back at the panel?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, this plane suddenly starts flying again. We're all going to have to be alert. Hey, did you see that?
I sure did, Captain. Getting light again. I can make out the windows.
Yes. It's getting steadily brighter. Well, hang on. We're going to have our hands full as the plane's released and starts to drop. What?
Captain, we're on the ground, Captain. We're on an airship somewhere.
I don't believe this. Check the plane. How can we be standing on the ground? We never lowered the gear.
No use, Skipper. We haven't got any power, no hydraulics, no battery.
Truman, have you ever seen this place before? The green hills sloping away on each side of the airstrip there? Trees on that ridge?
Nope.
Isn't it beautiful? How did you do it in all that blackness?
Do it? Do what?
Probably land the plane. It was the smoothest landing I've ever felt. Captain, the passengers wanted to work.
No, absolutely not. We have no way to get them off except the emergency evac chutes. Besides, I don't know where we are, Bonnie.
Well, we're dying. That's all that matters.
LaVon, that is not all that matters. You get back there and keep those people in their seats.
Captain, look off to your left. Something's coming.
Yes, looks like some sort of a hovercraft. Yeah, like a vehicle with no wheels.
Well, it's pulling up over there by the right side. Nothing's happening.
Captain, if you wish to communicate, you may use your microphone.
How did the radio start working again?
It's coming from that hovercraft, Al, Ben. All right, give me the mic, Drew. Captain George Laval, who is this, please?
My name and title would be meaningless to you, sir, but as we are both navigators in the seas of space, I greet you in peace.
Well, thank you. Are you responsible for all that's happened to my plane?
Yes, Captain. although it isn't damaged, my apologies for detaining it and you. It is an extraordinary measure. I owe you an explanation. Your craft entered a magnetically produced void projected from my craft. From the moment you were enveloped by the void, the normal functions of your universe ceased to be, including what you call time. Do you understand?
Yes. No. No, I don't.
On occasion, vessels in the universe pass near your planet and you observe them. These vessels originate aboard something you would probably call a mothership. This is a mothership. You are in a large celestial cruiser, not on your own planet. The environment you see was artificially produced for your comfort and orientation.
You mean even the hills out
there
in the sky?
Copied from typical sections of your planet.
Why did you do this? What do you want with my plane?
Your technology, forgive me if this sounds arrogant, is an open book to us. But we have detained you so that we could retrieve one of our apparatus.
Apparatus?
Again, permit an illustration. Your planet has sent unmanned research devices to other planets in your solar system. We send slightly more sophisticated apparatus to record physiological and psychological parameters among life forms on your planet.
I see.
One of these, regrettably, is malfunctioning. For the preservation of your own destiny as a sovereign planet, we cannot permit it to remain.
But why do you need a 727?
Our apparatus is aboard your craft, Captain. Will you kindly open your forward cabin loading door? The apparatus will leave.
Well, but there's no stairs out there. Where is this device of yours?
4B.
4B.
The apparatus is aware it is being recalled. All you need to do is to permit it to walk off your craft, Captain.
Walk? I'm afraid I
regret that we cannot continue our dialogue indefinitely, but in order to hold the environment for your craft and passengers requires much power. We must proceed. Please open your cabin door, Captain.
Very well. Give me a minute. Hey, True, go back into the cabin, see what's in C4B.
Right. Be right back.
You out there, what do they call you?
We have no oral language. Your language would call me Commander.
All right, Commander. I'm a little more calm now. It occurs to me that nobody will believe this really happened, you know. They'll think
my... You don't understand, Captain. You will not be able to report this occurrence, nor will anyone aboard your craft.
What do you mean by that?
As I explained to you before, your concept of time was suspended the moment your craft entered our magnetic void. You will soon be out of the void and flying again, and not one millisecond will have elapsed. You will have no memory of this.
Commander, do you realize what it would mean to our world if you could make yourself known to us?
Under our covenants, that is impossible, Captain. We may study your world, but never change it. To change one thing would be to alter your planet's destiny. That would be a universal crime. This is the reason why we must recall our humanoid apparatus. It began to become involved with your planet, with your very species.
Skipper, there's a passenger in 4B, Mr. Adam or Adams.
What did you say to him?
Nothing. When he saw me coming, he got up and walked to the cabin door. He's just standing there now, waiting.
I will move our scuttle beneath the cabin door. When you open it, Captain, the apparatus will be retrieved.
Your scuttle? Is that what you call your hovercraft out there?
Very well. Hovercraft, if you wish. I will position it by your cabin door.
I don't know. You can't go out there.
I must.
Then I'm going too.
No, Carol, you cannot live where I'm going. Go and sit down now.
I just don't understand you. It's as if you knew all about this crazy landing in advance.
I didn't want to be cruel. I didn't want to hurt you.
Folks, if you'll just... ma'am, will you please take your seat, please? Only this gentleman is getting off.
Oh, no, only this gentleman isn't getting off alone. I'm going with him.
You cannot live out here, Carol. I am not what I seem.
I love you.
It's all an error.
Please, ma'am, stand aside. The door swings in. Oh, Levon, will you please help this lady back to her seat?
Sure. Do you want to come back to your seat now? No. Adam, please. Will I ever see you again? Will you come back?
There, now the door is open. Can you step across, please? It's a pretty big jump into that hovercraft outside.
Please, ma'am. Come with me, please. Did you see him? He stepped out into empty space and just Richard, he's like a... He's moving through the air to the door of that thing out. Like a robot.
I urge you to compose yourselves as you were before your craft entered the void, Captain. See that all your passengers and crew are positioned exactly as before.
Right. True, get Bonnie to see that everybody's seated right where they were.
When we release your craft, Captain, we will resume time on the precise moment when you entered our control. Your flight will continue normally.
Except for one little circumstance, Commander. We'll be one passenger late.
Oh, no, Captain, no. You see, that would have an effect on several of your crew, at least. Not to mention the young woman companion of Adam. And that would change destiny, however slightly.
Well, then, what do you...
We are merely exchanging one apparatus for another. We have reprogrammed the duplicate of the device called Adam. All will be well.
Then you're putting an identical robot aboard?
Identical, except that the new model will not make the same mistakes.
And what happens to Adam, the original?
It will be dismantled and rebuilt.
Captain, that Mr. Adam is back in his seat again. What goes on here?
Oh, nothing, crew. That's fine. Everything set back there?
Yep, all secure.
Very well, then, Captain. My compliments to you. Your concern for the welfare of your passengers and ship are in the best traditions of navigation. It has been a pleasant encounter.
Then there's no chance we'll get to meet each other, Commander, face to face.
A delicate question, Captain. Let me answer you this way. For us to meet, as you put it, face to face, would be, for me, a physical impossibility.
Well, are we so terribly different?
Physically, our differences are profound. But we have a bond, Captain. We are navigators of different seas, but navigators still. Farewell.
There goes that shimmering effect again.
Okay, Captain.
We're still on autopilot?
Yes, everything's just as it was.
Larry?
Engineering panels go.
Funny they think we'd see something and not report it.
Yeah. Well, there'll probably be a lot of traffic around O'Hare, Captain. You want me to call the center back and get descent clearance?
Well, let's see. We're a little ways out, but I'll go ahead. Warn her to get it in a little early.
Right. Chicago Center, this is Midland 101. Request descent clearance.
Roger 101. Descent at pilot discretion to flight level 240. Squad code 03 upon starting descent.
Roger, Chicago. Code 03 out.
Let's get the ears while you're at it.
Rod.
Airport 15,000 scattered. 3,000 broken. 8,000 overcast. 4 miles haze. Temperature 82. Dew point 45. Wind 210 at 11. Altimeter 3004. Telephone control to have received information.
Adam? Adam?
Hmm?
You've been so quiet the last few minutes.
Yes.
You're still not mad at me, are you?
No.
You're sulking again.
Sulking? You mean pouting, petulant, unnaturally silent?
Yes, you know what I mean.
No.
No? No what?
No, I am not sulking. I'm thinking of the work I must do in Chicago.
Oh, brother.
Seatbelt fastened? Thank you. Do you folks have your seatbelt fastened? We're descending now for Chicago. You two have a nice flight?
Oh, nice. Wasn't it nice, Adam?
Yes, nice.
Did you get that, miss? The breathless overtones, pregnant with meaning. Say yes, nice again, Adam. Just that way.
Yes, nice.
Oh, whoopee! Listen, Adam. You don't want a girlfriend. You want another robot.
Yes.
Oh, Adam, baby. You really are something else.
Tonight, the Tower Playhouse has presented The Hole in the Sky. Our players were Dick Stokey as Captain Laval, Douglas Young as First Officer Truman Best, Bill Taylor as Second Officer Larry Hickok, Pat French as Stewardess LaVon Sims. Carol was played by Veronica, and Mike Moran was Adam, with Fred Sanchez as the tower operator, technical assistance by Donald Cronk and Clark Dean. Now, this is your writer-director, Jim French, saying thank you for listening, and good night.